But I've always loved mysteries. Even as a kid, as I mentioned, I loved watching Scooby-Doo. And honestly, I still enjoy watching it from time to time with the grandkids, but every episode seemed like it had the same pattern. Something strange would happen, everyone would be confused, clues would slowly begin to appear and then unraveled, and then right at the end, the mask would come off, the mystery would be solved, and suddenly everything made sense. Even back then, I was fascinated by mysteries. Well, these days, my tastes have matured a little bit. Now I enjoy British mysteries. I subscribe to BritBox and Acorn TV, and no matter how many different series I watch, I still cannot seem to get enough. They cannot produce them fast enough. So I also read British mysteries, averaging maybe a book a week. There is just something about a mystery that draws me in. Maybe you're like that also. We want answers. We want explanations. We want all of the loose ends tied up together neatly in the final scene. We assume that if we just think carefully enough, if we investigate deeply enough, if we find enough clues and gather enough evidence, everything eventually can be understood. And that instinct to solve mysteries and explain things is exactly where human beings often get themselves into trouble with God. I have mentioned many times during our fellowship with the Word Sunday School Hour that we often get into trouble whenever we try to explain a mystery. By definition, a mystery is just that, a mystery. And perhaps nowhere is that more true than on Trinity Sunday. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity is not a puzzle that God has given us to solve. It's not a riddle to unlock. It's not a math equation that somehow has to fit perfectly into our human logic. The Trinity is the living God revealing himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And whenever we try to force that mystery into our human understanding, the problems begin. And that is exactly what happened with a man named Arius in the early church. Arius struggled with the doctrine of the Trinity because he couldn't logically reconcile how God could be one and yet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Human reason told him that if the Father is God, then somehow the Son must be less than God. So Arius concluded that Jesus must have been created by the Father and therefore not eternal or fully divine. He tried to explain the mystery. He tried to make God understandable. But in doing so, he denied the full divinity of Christ and therefore fell into heresy. Well, the church responded with faithful men like Athanasius, who understood something very important. There's a difference between believing something and fully understanding it. Faith does not require complete comprehension. In fact, if we were to fully understand our God before we would believe in him, no one could be saved. The Athanasian Creed that we just confessed is not trying to explain away the mystery of the Trinity. Rather, it carefully protects that mystery from false teaching. It tells us what Scripture says and what Scripture does not say. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet there are not three gods, but one God. Can we fully understand that? No. Can we explain it? No. But can we believe it? Absolutely. And that frustrates us modern people because We live in an age that is obsessed with explanation. We want everything reduced to something manageable and understandable. If something cannot be fully explained, people often assume then it cannot be true. But Scripture never treats mystery as a weakness of faith. Instead, mystery reminds us that God is infinitely greater than we are. St. Paul says this in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Notice that Paul doesn't try to solve God. He worships him. And that is really the purpose of Trinity Sunday. It's not to solve the mystery of God, but to stand in awe of him. And the mystery of the Trinity is not some abstract theological concept disconnected from our lives. This mystery is actually the source of your salvation. The Father sent his Son into the world. The Son took on human flesh and died upon the cross for your sins. The Holy Spirit called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. Your entire Christian life is wrapped up in the work of the triune God. Just think about your baptism for a moment. You were not baptized into some vague or generic God. You were baptized into the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The triune God placed his name upon you and claimed you as your own, as his own. And that matters because only the true Christ can save sinners. If Jesus were merely a creature, as Arius taught, then he could not bear the sins of the whole world. If Jesus were not truly God, then his death would not have infinite value. If the Holy Spirit were not truly God, then he could not create saving faith in dead sinners. This is why the church fought so fiercely to preserve this doctrine of the Trinity. It was never merely about an academic or theological debate. Salvation, your salvation, was at stake. And here again we encounter mystery. Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. The Athanasian Creed confesses this so clearly. He is perfect God, perfect man, not two beings, but one Christ. Can we fully explain how the divine and human natures exist together in one person? Absolutely not. But we believe it because the Scriptures teach it. Christianity is full of mysteries like this. Water combined with God's word become a life-giving washing of rebirth. Bread and wine are truly the body and blood of Christ. Dead sinners are made spiritually alive. The eternal Son of God dies and rises again. The finite human mind cannot simply comprehend all of these wonderful mysteries of our God. But that shouldn't cause us concern. It shouldn't frighten or alarm us. It should comfort us. Because our salvation does not depend on our ability to explain every mystery correctly. Our salvation depends upon the God who has revealed himself to us in Christ. And that God has made himself known not so that we could master him intellectually, but so that we could trust in him faithfully. The truth is that we live with mysteries every day. We can describe how a seed grows up into a towering tree, but no one can fully explain the mysteries of life. We know that electricity powers our homes, yet most of us could never fully explain how it gets there or how it all works. We can see the wind bending the trees and feel it against our face, but we can't see the wind itself. So why would we be surprised that the eternal God is greater than our minds can fully comprehend. If God were small enough for us to fully understand, he would not truly be God. So Trinity Sunday ultimately calls us not to explain it, but to worship. Like the church believing the creation account in our Old Testament reading today from Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there already we see the mystery of the triune God at work. God the Father creating, the Spirit hovering over the waters. And according to John's Gospel, the eternal Word, the Son, through whom all things were made. Before sin ever entered the world, before humanity ever existed, the triune God was already there. Not lonely, not incomplete, but eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can we fully explain that mystery? No. But we stand before it in awe, and we worship. The crowds gathered at Pentecost in our epistle reading from Acts heard Peter proclaim that the Jesus whom they crucified had been raised and exalted to the right hand of God. The Father sent his Son. The Son died and rose again. The ascended Son pours out his Holy Spirit upon the church. The triune God actively working for the salvation of sinners. Peter wasn't trying to unravel the mystery of God. He was proclaiming what God has done in Jesus Christ. And the disciples in our gospel reading from Matthew are gathered before the risen Christ on that mountain in Galilee. The gospel writer Matthew tells us when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Even standing before the resurrected Jesus, there are still some things that they did not fully understand. And yet, Jesus still sends them with these familiar words. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice that Jesus does not try to explain the mystery of the Trinity. He simply reveals it. One name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the church receives that mystery, not through reason, but through faith. So today we are to be like Athanasius, standing firm against the world, refusing to explain away the mystery of our Christ, simply to satisfy human reason. Because, dear friends, we get into trouble whenever we try to explain the mystery of our God. But we find peace whenever we simply receive by faith what God has revealed. And the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has revealed himself for your salvation. The Father created you. The Son redeemed you. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you. And this same triune God promises that one day, faith itself will give away to sight. Until that day, we don't try to solve the mystery. Instead, we confess it. We believe it. And we worship. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.